Hi guys, welcome back to Working Title. We are heading into the weekend. I'm recording on Thursday. I feel like I was gifted time this week, which always feels good. I am coming off of probably one of the most productive days in my life. I don't know what happened to me yesterday, but I got more done than I have. And even in hindsight, I'm like, I don't even know what I did because they were all such small tasks that are things that I've just had to check off for a while. Like, for example, I have to deal with sales tax with No Particular Order. So No Particular Order is my business and it's based in New York. And the only like establishments that we have are in New York. I collect sales tax and then I have to pay it. And I tried doing it manually a couple of times and it made me want to pull all of my hair out. It was the worst experience of my life. And I talked recently on YouTube about how I just hired a bookkeeper, which has already been amazing. Such a good investment, just mostly for my peace of mind. Like, this is what I feel good about spending money on, is things that just make my life easier and better. But one of the things that we realized is I was using this tax collection. Guys, I can't believe I was using this tax collection incorrectly. So whatever, I set it up yesterday. I'm so sorry to bore you with taxes at the beginning of a podcast. So hello to the two people that are still listening. Anyways, it was a really great day yesterday. What else did I do? I booked a play to go to in New York coming up. I'm going to see Job. I read about it in the New York Magazine and it sounds really interesting. It sounds really stressful. And I was going to go by myself because I feel like going to a play alone is kind of like character building. And it's one of those activities that definitely can be solitary because you're just sitting and watching something. But after reading the reviews of this play about how intense it is, I feel like I would need to discuss it afterwards with somebody and kind of do like a full download. So I'm going with my cousin, but I got the tickets for that yesterday. I'm also working with somebody I so admire on No Particular Order business strategy. And we really started working together this past week and it's been so satisfying. Up until now, I kind of have just figured out the business side of things along the way. But I haven't done any formal business plans or strategies or financing. So it feels really good to be working with somebody who went to business school. I actually would love to have her on the podcast at some point if she's open to it, just to talk about what it really means to own a business and what goes into a business plan and why it's important to think about these things, because I'm sure a lot of you guys are interested in owning small businesses or you have your own companies. So that could be really interesting and to bring her on one day. But that's been a really exciting update for No Particular Order, and just starting to really treat that like a real business and not just like a passion project. On that same note and kind of going back to my productive day yesterday, I really have been conscious of trying to treat myself as an employee of No Particular Order. I feel like last year when I had a lot of freelance clients and I was working on other things and I felt almost guilty to focus on No Particular Order. It really was just like I would drop in and check the things off of my to-do list when I needed to. It was completely unstructured. But one of my goals for this year is to treat my days as a 9-to-5 employee of this company and make sure that I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that this succeeds and I get to hit the goals that I want to hit. So every day definitely still looks very different, but we're working towards that and I feel like we are headed in the right direction. I would love to have an office one day. Oh my God. I started a Pinterest board for an office maybe not even necessarily for No Particular Order. Like, it could be for anything. I just think it would be so fun to design an office one day because I feel like that's when you really get to think of design as like a utility to make sure that people are working together well and there's a good ambiance and culture that's like created through design. I would love to learn more about interior design one day also. I think that's something that I would actually invest in taking classes in, although I'm not sure if interior design is something that you're just either born with or you're not. And if that's the the case. I definitely was not. Don't get me wrong, I love my space and I love like decorating and buying things and kind of curating my own space. But I think I talked about this in my Margolee is Not a Visionary episode of Working Title, where I can't just like imagine how things are going to look until they're actually in the space and I get to play with pulling things in and out and all of that jazz. So I'm not sure if that's just like an innate skill that you just need to have in order to go into that. And I couldn't ever see myself doing interior design as a profession. That's like not a goal of mine or something that I necessarily want. However, with my own projects, I would love to be able to work with interior designers in a really hands-on way. One of the things I'm most excited for in this life is buying a house and completely decorating it. I don't think I ever really want to do like a full renovation. That just seems like a headache. And again, I don't think I have like the vision for like a full gut reno. But give me a beautiful old house with really beautiful, interesting bones. And oh my God, I would love to decorate it. And honestly, as I'm saying this, I'm picturing like an English house. So maybe Zantori is going to win this one. We will see. But yeah, I would love to just have some like formal training about how to actually go about that to make the whole process more enjoyable when it comes one day. This weekend, I'm so excited. I'm going to an antique warehouse, or I don't really know what you would call it, but it's this massive place, I think, with all of these different vendors. I'm going with my mom. There's a couple pieces of art that I really want to get for my apartment. And then maybe a new chair for my desk if I find one. I really love the look of ladder back chairs, but I know that they're going to be so uncomfortable. So if I can find a comfortable ladder back chair, then I might be replacing that in my apartment. But I'm going to be vlogging all of that, and I'm sure we can also just do a little recap on it next week. But that will be on YouTube.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Primarily. Oh my God. Also, something that happened this week that didn't make it on any platforms was Sarah went to a tarot reader, a psychic, and I came with her. She was very kind to have me sit in with her, which I actually think if I was in her position, I would want somebody to do the same because it helps you to remember. And we could also talk about it at dinner without her having to like remember everything that this psychic said. But it was so interesting and it made me really want to do it. And it also made me think it could be interesting to make a podcast out of that. So if I can find a psychic that would be open to me recording the reading, I don't know if that's like a complete no-no, but I think it could be interesting. So let me know if that's something that you would be curious about. But ever since going to Sarah's reading, one of the things that they talked about was that meditation is really important and kind of like reconnecting with that spiritual side. So since that reading, I am proud to say I have meditated 3 times, which it's 3 times more than I meditated in 2023. So already happy with that. And it's been really interesting. I think right now I am more so just trying to be conscious of my body. Every time I've just set a timer for 10 minutes and just close my eyes. And I haven't done guided meditation. I like to just kind of listen to my surroundings. But the first 2 times that I did it, it was so interesting. It just made me realize how I am so not tuned into my body. the first time when I was really listening to my breath and my body, I realized that I have this like clicking sound in my mouth that only I would be able to hear. It's like an internal sound, kind of when I breathe in or when I swallow. And I've never realized that I had that, which was really honestly scary that I'm 25 years old and I didn't know that my body in my head makes this noise. Like, it was really weird and freaky to realize just how out of touch I am with my own body. And the second time I did it was in the morning, and I was feeling really overwhelmed. So I just closed my eyes, I sat on my sofa, and I realized I was so nauseous. And it was kind of the nausea that comes from like looking at screens. It was after I'd woken up and spent probably like 30 minutes in my bed on my phone. And then I went right into this meditation and I really just felt kind of like queasy from, I think just from like the audio and the screen color and the brightness. And I don't know, I think it's just like a lot for our brains to have to deal with right when we wake up. And it was a good reminder of that. And again, freaky, I had no idea that my body was feeling like that until I kind of like sat and let myself just breathe through it. And by the time the timer went off, I felt completely better. It was just a good reconnection to be like, wait, whoa, what is going on? I've also realized it's difficult for me to do this and not just use it as 10 minutes to create like a to-do list in my brain of things that I want to get done when I open up my eyes and when the timer finally goes off. So I'm trying to practice just like that concept of observing your thoughts from the outside and letting them kind of flow by, which we all know is much easier said than done. But I will keep you guys updated on my meditation journey because it's already been really interesting just to learn more about myself and my body through this very brief, short, you know, practice that I've done very intermittently so far this year. I am not sure how we got there, but I figured today, I think I mentioned in the first episode of this year that I wanted to talk about the books that I read last year. I believe I read 10 books last year, which for me is pretty good. I'm pretty proud of that. Definitely before 2023, I probably only read like 2 or 3 books a year. I attribute reading more books fully to having a Kindle. My friend Harley put me on to the Kindle and I'm so glad she did. It is life-changing. I do have the Libby app. So if you're not familiar, the Libby app connects to your library. So if you have a library card, I have a New York Public Library card, you connect it to this app and then you can get free books from the library and you can have them for...
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Up to 21 days, but the hack is if you put your Kindle on airplane mode, then you can have it for as long as you want. And if you use the app correctly and have like 3 holds at a time, because a lot of books will have like a 10 or 11 week wait, then by the time that you're done with books, it kind of like cycles through your holds. So you're never waiting for a book. It's amazing. I love it. I'm such a proponent of public libraries and Kindles. And something I love about my Kindle is when you lock it, it has the cover of the book on the front page. I've seen a lot of Kindles have like ads when you lock the book, and it's just not the vibe. Okay. So I think it's totally worth investing an extra like $10 or $15 to make sure that the book stays on the lock screen. I'm going to link my exact model in the show notes of this episode. So if you're interested in buying it, I know that there's a ton of different models. I will link the one that I have. I actually just tried recording this segment and I was boring myself to sleep trying to give my critiques of each book in detail. So I'm just going to give you the ranked list of my books from least favorite to favorite. If you want to talk about it or get more of my reasoning, you can send me a DM. And also next week is going to be a bit more of a call and response episode, which I will talk about at the end of this episode. So we can tie it in next week. So going through my book rankings from least favorite to favorite, Coming in at the bottom is Verity by Colleen Hoover. I just personally really don't like her writing style. I know I'm in the minority, but that's how I feel. Number 8 is The Perfect Marriage. This one I was actually happily surprised by, considering I put zero effort into finding this book. I think it was like a free book when you first download or get your Kindle. I just wish that there were more twists and turns in the narrative, but not terrible. Number 7 was Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I was so bored reading this book. I think it's an interesting concept. I did like reading from the perspective of people who really care about video games because it's important to Xantori's life. His dad at one point was a video game designer, so I felt like I could kind of see into that world through this book, and that was definitely my favorite part of this book. But that being said, the plot as a whole, I don't know, I couldn't get into it, unfortunately. And kind of like the meta worlds that they build also didn't really feel like they were built out in like as much of a magical, intriguing way as I would have wished. Okay, number 6 was The Cuckoo's Calling. This is a book by, it's called Robert Galbraith or something, but it's actually J.K. Rowling. She's used a different pen name for this series, which I think is called the Strike series. This was the last book of 2023 that I read, and I mostly read it because there was a TV show that was made that was based on the books, and I love reading books that have TV shows to watch afterwards. But I don't love the TV show style. I know that's just like a personal preference, but the book itself is really long, so I feel like that's also part of the reason why it's on like the bottom half of my books, was because I felt like for as much time and effort I put into the book, the ending wasn't as satisfying as I wanted it to be. And also because the book was so long, I kind of wanted to try to figure out who done it. This is another murder mystery along with the detective. But the way that the book was set up was there was just all of these like conversations and introducing characters, but they never really shared crucial information for the reader to figure out what was happening as the book was happening. It was kind of just like at the end of the book, he laid it all out in an explanation. And it was interesting, but again, it felt like the book could have been like a quarter of the size that it was for the format that they used. And also, I just had really high hopes for J.K. Rowling's writing based on, obviously, Harry Potter, but lesson learned. Number 5 was Lessons in Chemistry. I did really enjoy this book. However, I felt like the strongest part of the book for me, the most enjoyable part of reading it, was the writing style. I thought the first like 25-30% of the book had really interesting, witty use of language and like colloquialism. I just thought it really used language in a really interesting way as kind of like a sign of the times. I think the book was based in like the 50s or 60s. However, I was kind of disappointed. It felt like that kind of dropped off when you got like halfway through the book. You weren't getting as much of those really good, like well-written nuggets. And I also thought the plot could have been stronger. I was kind of confused with different plot points by the end, which may have just been me and my lack of understanding certain points or following or remembering certain points. I think I'm going to give the TV show a try. I will update you guys if I do. Okay, coming in at number 4 was Mean Baby by Selma Blair. This book was such a surprise. I live in an apartment building where in the basement we have kind of like a communal library. So when you finish a book, you can drop a book there, take another one. And I've actually, before I got the Kindle, this was like the only thing that would determine what books I was reading. I love going into bookstores and browsing, but it can be so intimidating. Especially, again, before the Kindle, I used to go to the Strand bookstore near Union Square, and it's really fun to go into, but it is so overwhelming with the amount of books. So I would literally just go in the basement, and if there was a book that looked half decent, I would just grab that one and start reading. So this is what happened with Mean Baby, and I got the Kindle in the middle of reading this, so I ended up switching over. But I was so happy to be introduced to this book. Selma Blair is an actress and she has MS. And this is her memoir. I thought it was written so brilliantly. I definitely think the first half was stronger. I thought it talked about kind of like personal tragedy and traumas with a lot of grace and humor. I started kind of hating the book when it became very name-droppy, especially because there was a line in the book where she said, I could drop all of these people's names, but I'm above that, essentially. And then just goes on to, like, basically for the second half of the book, just drop, like, every A-list celebrity in Hollywood talking about these, like, dinner parties and relationships and whatever. And I totally get that that's part of her story, but it was just kind of frustrating that there was like a bit of hypocrisy there, I guess. But all in, I loved the book. I also loved reading about her experience with MS because somebody in my family has MS, and it's not really talked about. So it helped me to better understand that disease and what it means for the person. And obviously it can be very different person to person, but I appreciated getting a first person experience with it just because I don't really hear about it that much. And I think it's really important for me personally that I understand what it means to have MS a bit more. But yeah, I love that book. I also just love the cover. I thought it's beautiful. And the hardcover, when you take the the paper cover off, the dust jacket, when you take that off, the actual book is really beautiful and it has this like motif from part of her childhood. So yeah, loved Mean Baby. Number three was Devil in the White City. This book was recommended to me by Harley and it is so interesting. It is, I don't know if it's technically considered a nonfiction book. I think it is, but it feels like you're reading a fiction book, which makes it really fun. And I think a well-written nonfiction historical book has that effect. Like it feels like you're reading this like fantastical fiction book and it makes it that much better knowing that these events actually occurred. The book takes place during the First World's Fair, which took place in Chicago. And it also follows one of the first serial killers who basically preyed upon this World Fair to kind of like seduce victims and use this crazy groundbreaking time in America to his advantage. I think they do a beautiful job at going back and forth between these two worlds, which were happening at the same time, obviously, as they were building the fair and as more people were coming to the States and it was really hard to track people. So if people were going missing, they didn't know really what was going on. Other than this being really well written and really engaging to read throughout and also like wanting to get to the end to figure out what ultimately happened, you know, with the World Fair and with the serial killer, it also taught me a lot about really famous architects, about the World Fair, like the inception of so many iconic brands and inventions that started at the World Fair that I just had no idea about. I would read you guys a list, but it's so fun to actually read about it. And actually, my favorite takeaway was learning more about Frederick Law Olmsted, who is an American landscape designer, and he worked on the First World's Fair, but he also designed Central Park and so many other iconic parks and landscapes in America. And after reading this book, I had this like truly magical night in Central Park. It was after a concert at the end of the summer. And there may have been some fungi-related stimulants involved, if you will. But after reading this book about Olmsted's genius and vision in creating these parks, actually being able to see it firsthand, and I was with a friend who is also familiar with him and the history of his work, we were just so in awe. And it honestly has changed the way that I see the park. Like every time I go to Central Park, I genuinely view it differently after reading this book, which I think isn't that the whole point of reading a book is to like change your perspective on the world and give you more insight into like how other people think and see the world. This book totally had that effect on me. Now, whenever I see any of the inventions from the World Fair, I think about this book and the impact that this time in America had on our everyday lives, which, you know, I've never thought about the first World Fair before, but I thought this book just did a fantastic job at telling the story. Okay, my runner-up for best book of 2023 was A Year of Magical Thinking. Honestly, it was really hard to rank one and two, so we can kind of tie them, but wait, is it A Year or My Year? Oh, neither. It's The Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion. This was the first Joan Didion book that I read, and I fell in love. I totally get why she is a legend in American literature. The Year of Magical Thinking is about the year that her husband died and her daughter went through this really traumatic illness. And it talks a lot about grief and relationships and what her relationship with her husband meant to her, how her life changed after he passed. I have never read something about grief that kind of speaks to like the human soul as well as this one did. I read this also a couple months after my Yaya passed, so it was just interesting reading about grief through somebody else's words. I wish I still had the quotes. That is the one thing about, oh, you know what? I actually did journal them. Something I've been doing is, because in the Kindle you can highlight different words or phrases, but because I use Libby and their library books that basically get like digitally returned, it doesn't save any of those. So I've been writing down all of my notes after I finish books. And I did write down my notes about this, but it was in another journal. Yeah, just some of the quotes from this book were very touching. It was just a very beautiful marriage that she talked about, that it's something that I think having a really beautiful, strong partnership in marriage is so important, and it's such a big like life goal of mine to have that and to foster that love and respect for each other. And I thought she just talked about it so beautifully. So I did try reading another Joan Didion recently. I think it was Letters from Bethlehem. Wait, no, I totally butchered that. Oh, Slouching Towards Bethlehem. And that's a book of short essays. Those I honestly struggled with because it's a book of fiction essays, but a lot of them are based on fact. So I was just getting very confused. So I'm going to have to revisit that one. But if you do want to get into Joan Didion or kind of just read some of her work, I think The Year of Magical Thinking is a great place to start. Coming in at number one, this book, I'm obsessed. I kind of just felt like it was like my inner monologue, which feels very vulnerable to say because a lot of the things in this book are really weird. But it's I'm a Fan by Sheena Patel. I came across this book in a store called Print. Wait, was it? Yeah, I guess it was Printed Matter, which is in the East Village. It's part of a museum, but they have like a little bookstore at the front. And I went in actually to do some like comp shopping for no particular order. And I was just looking at how different books were made and designs, and ended up coming across this book and absolutely fell in love. I think it's really hard to write about the current times without it already sounding really dated. And this book did such a beautiful job at really describing how it feels to have parasocial relationships with people and kind of develop these like obsessions through the lens of Instagram and like online stalking and just things that like honestly all of us fall victim to. It also takes place in London, so it was really fun to read. It's a very quick read. All of the chapters are like 2 pages long. It kind of reads like a poetry book in a way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Chapter titles are genius. Like, you read the title and then you read the passage of the chapter and then you just giggle at the name of the chapter. I think Sheena Patel is a genius. I can't wait for her to come out with more books. And I can't wait to reread this book. I actually gave it to my cousin Sarah to borrow, but I'm going to be taking it back because I feel like I am ready to reread it. It is just, it's such a delight. There you have it, folks. That is my recap of books that I read in 2023. I hope that didn't bore you too much. It was kind of fun to just go back down and think about everything that I read. I'm trying to read at least 12 books this year. I am currently reading M Train by Patti Smith, which is also a really fun read because the book is kind of anchored in New York and then talks a lot about her travels and experiences. And it's been a pretty quick read so far, so I'm enjoying that. I'm going to add a question box for you to give your thoughts on any of the books that I talked about. And more importantly, selfishly, if you want to leave any recommendations of books that you think I would like, I'm always on the hunt for more books. I think it's so hard. It's like finding a new TV show or movie when you're just scrolling at night on these different platforms and you're like, why is this so hard to find something I'm in the mood for? I feel the same way when I'm looking for books. I am wrapping up such a great week. I vlogged all of kind of like the fun bits and bobs and just posted on YouTube. So if you want to see what I've been up to, especially because I haven't really been posting on Instagram, that's a great way to just play a bit of catch up. Okay, I keep getting a low battery signal on my microphone. And I don't know if I have any more batteries, so I want to wrap this episode up. Thank you to everyone who is leaving gorgeous, kind, lovely reviews on the podcast app. It truly means the world to me. I love reading them. Any and all feedback is so appreciated. So if you have a minute today, I would so appreciate if you could leave a 5-star review. It helps Working Title to get discovered and reach more people and have more interesting conversations. And one day have really interesting guests on the show, which I'm already starting to plan out. Next week, I want to do kind of like an advice moment. So if you guys need any advice, or I'm going to kind of just open it up to like any questions that you have for me. If it's advice, if it's questions about my life or my current updates, if you just want to tell me something just to get it off your chest, I'm going to keep everything anonymous so you don't have to worry about your name being attached to any of these questions that are going to be coming up in next week's episode. I think it will be a fun way to get you guys involved. If you have questions, I'm going to have a question box on Instagram. I'll probably post one or two throughout the week before I record. Or if you want to just DM me the questions, you can start with question for Working Title. And I will address as many as I can for next week's episode, which I'm going to try to get out on Tuesday. I was a bit behind this week. That is all she wrote. Thank you so much for tuning into Working Title. I will be seeing you guys on Instagram and chatting with you guys next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye, guys.